we may keep so near to God that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to Him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. Steps to Christ, page 99, paragraph 4. Let me give you that again. We may keep so near to God that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to Him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. Our initial reaction will be, where's God? Not where's the elder or the deacon. Where is God? Because if you make the elder your first contact, he will talk to God anyway. So you might as well go there yourself first. A few years ago, someone wrote me and said, I have a problem. I need to talk to you. So I wrote back and said, have you spoken to God? The person wrote back, no. I said, talk to him, then talk to me. A couple days later, the person wrote back, the problem is solved. I don't need to talk to you. And I said, hallelujah. This is very, very serious. Our natural instinct is to reach out horizontally. Now there's a God on the throne who is almighty. He knows the end from the beginning. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is all powerful. And one of His little children, we are little in the sight of God in some sense, has a difficulty, and we leave God sitting on the throne and we search for people who cannot help us the way we need to be helped. What am I saying? Do we need each other? Yes. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Yes, we do. When Christ was in the garden, what did He tell the disciples? Watch with me. He needed human support. But He prayed to His Father, are you following me? And so we may keep so near to God, so close, that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to Him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. Spiritual behavior can become instinctive. I won't run into the same situation as last night, so please don't worry. Where my opening remarks become the sermon, I won't do that. But let me tell you this. The carnal nature, what does the carnal nature naturally do? Sin. It naturally desires sin. Then, if you're truly converted, what does the spiritual nature naturally require? Righteousness. Ah, you didn't get it. My fault. By nature and instinct and genetic determination, the carnal nature moves towards sin. Then if I am truly converted, because Jesus says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A truly converted person will naturally desire righteousness. And of course, righteousness is a person. That's Jesus Christ. We may keep so near to God, and that should be our desire, that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to Him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. Very often, if we make that step, we won't have to talk to anybody else. God is good, and all the time. How was your day? Good, I'm glad to hear that. We give God the glory for that. Are you with me? My day, God bless that smart man. Yes, my day was fine. No complaints at all. My day was fine. God bless you. But I believe you spoke for the whole church, so that's good. My day was fine, and I thank God for that. I can't thank the Ashram family alone enough, and the pastor for arranging it for where I am. It is just a perfect setting. I don't see my people. Oh, there they are back there watching me. It is just a perfect setting. And every day I thank God for that home where I'm staying. I call it my palace because God is the king. I'm His son. I'm a prince. Somebody say amen quickly. All right. Okay. When I get in a car, it's a limousine. Can you say amen? Why? Because the Son of God is in it. Even if it has three wheels, it's a limousine because I'm in it. Because I'm a child of God. So it's God, not me. And so I was thinking, I was reflecting, and I stood on the outside, right outside the door to the entrance to my palace. And I saw a spider. A little fellow. So I bent down and I put my little nail right up to him. And he rose up like that. as if to say, do you want some of this? I just smiled. Look at the spider. Want to fight with me? I just smiled. I was in the Philippines several years ago on an island called Siquijor. And we're at the beach one day because where we were staying was right on the beach. And I was walking on the beach, praying and reciting scripture. I saw some crabs. They're blue, little things. And the moment you approach, they burrow into the sand. And so one fellow burrowed into the sand to get away from me, and I stood right where he went down. And I scooped him up. And I had him right here. Then he came up and saw me and went back down. I said, who is he hiding from? He is right in my hand. Tell you, now, we're like that. We try to hide from God. And God has the whole world where? In his hands. You cannot hide from God. All right. Is anyone with us tonight who's not a Seventh-day Adventist? You're here for the first time. Anyone? All right. Anyone? No. I believe we have some guests online. Wherever you are, God bless you. Oh, let me say this. My heart was warm 2 days ago. Someone wrote me from Barbados, which is where I'm from originally. And I was delighted to know that someone in my home country was listening. If you are, please, God bless you. And of course, every other country, I have precious, precious friends who are listening from other countries. God bless you, who are also praying for us. And so I'm appreciative to God for the technology that allows this to take place. You know, you look at the pandemic and you wonder what good came of it. I think Zoom is one of the good things. Now you can enter a country without a passport. Are you following me? And while churches were shut down, the gospel went further afield. And so I thank God for that. All right. I thank God for the little boys and girls who are listening, wherever you are. Ah, here comes another blessing. I got a text. Was it today or yesterday? Yesterday, I think it was, or today. Someone can correct me. The 7th and 8th graders were praying for me. And it's a very special thing when children pray for you. And so I felt very encouraged. God bless all the 7th graders and the 8th graders and the 9th and the 6th and the 5th and every grade at the school. Thank you, 7th and 8th graders, for your prayer. Please continue to pray for the preacher. All right, before I get into the message, the pastor told you that God is the God who repeats. So let me encourage you to turn these off if you don't need them as a Bible. If you do, you don't need sound. We must always show reverence for God. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And that's what I want to speak. Favor number three, think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. It is such a comforting thing to know that the God of heaven and earth, the God who is the origin of all wisdom, is willing to sit down with us or stand up or stoop down and reason with us. It gives tremendous assurance that I serve a God who makes time for little people such as I. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come into your presence at your invitation. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We come. We don't come with a sense of deserving. We come with great need, and our need is what attracts you to us, dear God. And you answered our need in the place, in the person of Christ. If we've offended you, forgive us, Father. Sometimes we sin without knowing it. Whatever we may have done to displease you today, forgive us, we pray, and grant us an infilling of your Holy Spirit, that he may do several things for us, strengthen us against temptation, guide us our steps, and of course, make the words plain and clear to us. Send mighty angels, dear God, to surround this place, that the demons may not interfere with the transmission of your word. I pray for those who are in this building and those online, wherever they are, bless the countries represented by those who are watching, dear God. Guide the decisions of the leaders, that their decisions will not interfere with the advancement of the gospel. For those who may be sick, touch them, dear Father. Touch them with your healing hand. I pray particularly for those afflicted with COVID-19. Remove it completely, Father, and grant them good health. Dear God, wherever your people are living under very difficult circumstances, draw very near to them and sustain them as you sustained the Israelites in the wilderness. I cannot thank you enough, dear God, for the high honor of speaking for you. Help me, Father, to do my best for your glory, and that your people may be blessed. I offer this prayer from my heart. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Our subject, the source of goodness. Sorry about that to my good friends. The source of goodness is our subject for tonight. Genesis 17. Let's read from verse 18 to get some connection. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham realizes God does not want Ishmael as the son of covenant. He wants someone else. He is afraid God will kill Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him and with his seed after him for an everlasting generation. Now, having given Abraham that reassurance, God tells him in verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. That's what God tells him in verse 21. Listen to verse 22. And he left off what? Talking with him, and God did what? What direction did God take? He went up. He left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Let us go to Exodus chapter 19. The source of goodness. Exodus 19. We read 10 and 11 and 18. It's 7:19. I'll release you by 8 o'clock. You have, okay. Exodus 19, 10, 11, and 18. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. What direction does God travel? He comes down. Why does he have to come down? Because he's up. It may sound simple. He comes down because he is up. Let's go to verse 18. And Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke. Read with me now. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. God came down on Mount Sinai. God came down to speak to Abraham, Genesis 17. When he was done, he went back up. God told Moses in verse 11 of Exodus 19, I am coming down on the third day. Let's go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, our subject, the source of good things. You have Exodus 34. In 33, verse 18, the Bible says, and he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. Moses wanted to see God's glory. That's the background for 34. Verse 5 of chapter 34, God is coming to partially answer Moses' request. And the Lord descended in a cloud. What did God do? He descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord descended in a cloud. Why did he descend? Because he came from above. What's our subject? The source of goodness. Father, continue to be with me, please, and restrain my speed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go to James chapter 1, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1. James 1. James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament. Such a practical book. Alright, we have James 1. Let's read verse 17. Now you must read this with me based on the text we've read before. Are you there? What does that say? Every good gift, come on, and every perfect gift, come on, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom was no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above. James 1, verse 17. When you hear the word every, what exceptions are allowed? None. Now, if every good gift comes from above, how many good gifts come from below? None. Anything we give God was already His. Ah, you didn't get that. You may say, well, I gave God $1 million. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. Who am I? And what are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Everything comes from God. That's good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Here's a passage of Scripture that you know very well. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, come on, is a gift of God. Where does that come from? Above. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is, come on, but the is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where did that come from? Above. You're speaking hesitatingly. Don't do that. Speak confidently. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Is that settled biblically? Yes or no? Yes. All right. Having done that, let us go back to Exodus 19. You read verse 11. For the third day, Exodus 19, verse 11, I will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Question for you, why did God come down? To give His law. He came down to speak His law. Did God appear to Moses, to Abraham in Genesis 17? Yes. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nigh, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. God was constantly appearing. Did not God appear to Moses in the burning bush? Yes. But on those occasions, was there lightning? Was there thunder? Was there loud trumpet? Was there noise? Was there fire? No. Then why all of that fireworks on Sinai? Because God brought His law. And God came in a way to impress upon the Israelites the majesty of His law. And it came from above. Let's look at the opposite direction. Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, we'll read verse 1 to 3, then we'll read 11. We may read Revelation 17, verse 8, 11, verse 7. We might. You have Revelation 13? Reading from verse 1, let me pray, Father, as I deal with this subject which Satan hates. Defend me, protect all of us, and speak simply through me, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Revelation 13, verse 1, read with me. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast do what? Rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Talk to me now. If in what direction is that beast moving? Is coming from? Down and coming up. Go to verse 11. Read with me. And I beheld another beast doing what? Coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Go to Revelation 11. Let's read verse 7. Read with me nice and loud. And when they shall have what? Finished their testimony, the beast that what? Ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Where is that pit? It is down. And that pit produces some beasts. They come up. Every good gift comes in what direction? It comes down. Go to Revelation 17. Let's read verse 8. Read with me. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall do what? Ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. We have that which is no good, that which is sinful, that which challenges God. It comes from beneath. Every good gift, come on, tell me, comes from above. What's our subject? The source of goodness. What is that source? Heaven. Now, where did the law of God come from? It came from above. It originated from above. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Speaking of earthly priests, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 4, or verse 5, who serve, or let's read verse 4, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that they are priests that offer what gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow heavenly things. Stop. The writer of Hebrews is saying the earthly priests, what they did was a mere reflection of what goes on in heaven. Now, what happened on earth was a shadow. The shadow is never a perfect reflection of the substance, but it gives us a reliable idea of what's happening. Which means there's a tabernacle in heaven. Are you with me? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's read verse 23 and possibly verse 24. You have Hebrews 9:23? It was therefore necessary, what? That the patterns of things were in heaven should be purified with these. The pattern of things in the heaven, in other words, the earthly system where blood was brought. The tabernacle, the altar, all purification by blood, blood sprinkled on the altar, on the veil, on the ark. The pattern of things in the heavens. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with what? Man's hands. But into heaven itself. He went where there's a heavenly tabernacle, where he's interceding. What I'm trying to tell you, if you study the sanctuary, it gives us some reliable idea of what goes on in heaven. There is a tabernacle in heaven, or a sanctuary with heaven with two compartments. Go to Exodus 25, our subject, the source of goodness. Exodus 25, I hope I said Exodus. All right, I thought I said Isaiah. Exodus 25. We'll read 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let's read verse 10. What does that say? And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. So now we're describing the construction of the ark. Now, look at verse 16. Here's what God tells Moses. And thou shalt do what? Put into the ark the testimony which I will give thee. What is the testimony? We'll let the Bible confirm that. Go to Exodus 31. Let's read verse 18. Exodus 31, verse 18. Our subject, the source of goodness. Are you there? You can still hear some pages. Read with me. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, come on, tell me what? 2 tables of what? Tables of stone written with the finger of God. What are the tables of testimony? The tables of stone, the law of God. There were 2 tables, 4 on one, 10 on the other. 4 on one, 6 on the other. Now, God told Moses, put them into the ark. Read verse 21. Of Exodus 25. What does that say? And thou shalt what? Exodus 25, verse 21. What does that say? Oh, sorry, I took you somewhere else. Sorry, Exodus 25, verse 21. Do you have that now? Slow down. Yes, yes. All right. That's a nice person rebuking me. Okay. Exodus 25, verse 21. And thou shalt put what? The mercy seat, come on, above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put what? The testimony, come on, that I shall give thee. So we're told twice. 16, 21. Now, go back to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. One of the reasons why Seventh-day Adventists, one of the advantages we have, and I'm not boasting, we understand the sanctuary system. Modern Christianity has no clue, even though it's right in the Bible. Hebrews 8, verse 5. Are you there? Read with me. What does it say? Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. And that's a quotation from Exodus 25, verse 40. God said, look that you make them according to their pattern shown to thee in the mount. Exodus 25, 40. Paul is repeating that verse in Exodus Hebrews, verse 5. Make it a showed Moses a pattern now, which means there is an ark in heaven containing what? The Ten Commandments. Okay. Follow me closely. From there, God brought the Ten Commandments down. Are you following me? Ten of them, as we know them, let me jump on the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This was the writing on the ark above, on the stones. God brought them down. Are you following me? What's the direction? Out, down. In what direction is authority flow? Up, down. Not down, up. Rebellion goes in what direction? Down, up. So he shall speak great words against whom? The Most High. Where do the words come from? Down. Where do they go up? Or they try to go up. He shall speak great words. He shall blaspheme the tabernacle of God and them that dwell therein. Rebellion goes up. Doesn't get very far. But it goes up because the target of rebellion is God. The target of God's blessing is us. Are you with me? So the blessings come down. This is where they're needed. But this is where rebellion is. And so rebellion goes up. Now, let's go to Daniel 7. We've established the direction. We've established there's an original in heaven. Let's go now to Daniel 7. A familiar passage, verse 25. It's 7:36. Are you there? Daniel 7:25. Now you know this verse. Read with me. And he shall do what? Speak. He shall do what? State clearly. He shall speak great words against the Most High. What does Most High tell you? That's up. Not the Most Low. The Most High. He shall speak great words again. So the words are targeted against God. And shall do what? Wear out the what? The saints of the Most High. And shall, come on. Think. Stop. Think. That's fine. You're eager. God bless you. And shall think to change times and laws. Think. He may think it. Finish my words. He can't do it. So in a certain sense, the Sabbath has never been changed. Did you get what I'm trying to say? For the Sabbath to change, who has to change it? God. Go to Psalm 89. Read verse 34. I'm taking you scripture to scripture. I hope you don't mind that. Psalm 89, verse 34. Are you there? Read with your preacher. What does the verse say? My covenant will I not change nor alter the thing that is gone out of my... I'm not changing it. To change God's covenant is to change salvation. My covenant will I not change. Now, why did I send you to that verse? Go to Exodus 34. Let's read 27 and 28. We just read, my covenant will I not change. Let's go to Exodus 34, 27 and 28. It's 7:38 on the dot. By the way, today marks the end of the second week. Last week starts tomorrow. Are you there? Exodus 34, 27, 28. Let me pray, Father, continue to speak through me, I pray. Humble myself before you, I truly do. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, what? Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made what? A covenant with thee and with Israel. Write thou these words. Where are the words coming from? Moses or God? God. The source of authority. They're coming from God. Moses just writes them. Moses is not an editor. The finest authors need editors, not God, not the Holy Spirit. Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Verse 38, read, 28, read with me. And he was there with the Lord, what? 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor. And he wrote, come on, upon the tables, come on, the words of the, finish the verse. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the basis of God's covenant. God saves us to live an obedient life. That's the condition of salvation. Christ saves you and he tells you, live this way. He brought the Israelites out. Then he gave them the law, live this way. He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not change, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. In 364 AD, at the Council of Laodicea, the church outlawed Sabbath keeping. Now, at that point, it did not have full authority to enforce it, but it passed the law. The church really got powerful, I mean the Roman church, from 538. But in 364, you saw signs of where it was moving. Canon 29 of the laws passed in 364, the Council of Laodicea, Christians shall not Judaize or be found Judaizing on the Sabbath or the seventh day. Judaizing means keeping the Sabbath, behaving like Jews, you see. Because at one point, Christians were associated with Jews. They were considered Jews. And one of the reasons why Sunday came in, Christians wanted to distance themselves from the Jews, who were persecuted by the Romans. And so they started keeping the first day and left the 7 days of the Jews. That was one of the reasons why first day worship crept in, and they justified it by saying Christ rose on the first day of the week, so we have a good reason to keep it. But it's not what the day on which Christ rose, it is what God said. And so the council passed this canon law 29, Christians shall not Judaize on the Sabbath, don't rest, but work, and shall honor the Lord's Day, meaning Sunday, in the mind of that church. And it ends this way, anyone found Judaizing or keeping the Sabbath will be excommunicated or regarded as anathema, meaning you will be tossed out of Christ. You'll be tossed out of Christ for obeying Christ. We know Constantine passed this law in 321 that people in the country, in the city should rest, and tradesmen and laborers, they rest. But in the country, keep working because you need to provide food. Now that's from beneath. Are you with me? You read the Catholic Catechism, the latest version was 1994, I believe. You read the chapter on the Ten Commandments, they tell you plainly that they changed it because they changed it in favor of Sunday to honor the resurrection. Now here's my... what I want you to consider. 7:42. I am glad Jesus rose. Somebody say amen. Amen. But nowhere in the Bible are we told to celebrate a day to honor his resurrection. Nowhere. When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree, some plant biologists, no, what do you call them? Botanists might have said, but this leaf has phytochemicals. It helps to fight free radicals. You know, it returns nitrogen to the soil. It absorbs carbon. All of that might be true, but what did God say? Don't eat it. You see, the bottom line is not whether the early Christians kept Sunday or Saturday. The bottom line is what? What did God say? There was a time in the Old Testament when the entire Jewish nation went into idolatry. Did that justify idolatry? God punished them by sending them into captivity. What did God say? That's the question. Not as much as what did the disciples do. What did God, bless the disciples, don't misunderstand me. What did God say, and what is God still saying, and God is still saying? The seventh day is the Sabbath. That came from where? Above. So what kind of gift is it? It's a good gift. The law of God is a gift. And God doesn't put it in your hands. Come on, talk to me. He writes it in your heart. Christ is a gift from above. And the Christ and the law cannot be separated. As I showed you two nights ago, as verily as Christ is the way, He is the shepherd, He is the door, He is the bread, He is the water, He is the light, He is the law. And He's the gospel. The source of good things, above. Opposition to God, from beneath. We know there's a tabernacle in heaven. There's an original with an ark and the law inside. To change God's law, therefore, you've got to go up. Move God off the throne. Because the ark is His throne, you see, symbolized by the ark on earth. It represented His throne. The mercy seat, the Shekinah, that's where God sat, symbolically. The real thing is in heaven. You have to move Him off the throne. Rewrite the text, then send it down. You don't make a change and send it up. Are you following me? Because nothing good goes up. Every good thing comes down. And if it's good and a perfect gift, what can you not do? You cannot change a perfect gift. The law of God is a perfect gift. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. I'll tell you what the problem is. You see this? What's this? The heart. It's hard. It's rebellious. It hates God. It hates everything about God. It loves church, but it hates God. It loves services. It hates truth. This is the problem, not the law of God. And if we will allow God to change this, we would love God's law. We would say like David in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I love it. It's a good gift. And the perfect gift, it came down from above. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Rebellion is from beneath. Disobedience is from beneath. Attempts to change God's law, from beneath. Persecution of the saints, from beneath. When you come to God, you are no longer from beneath. You're telling me, explain that. Yes, I will. When Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 14, He said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. When you come to Christ, you are now from above. Mm-hmm. Verse 16 repeats, they are not of the world. If they are not of the world, where are they from? Not Pluto or Mars. By accepting Christ, you change your location. Now you become someone from above, temporarily stranded on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims like Abraham described himself. The source of goodness from above. God's gift to man, Christ from above. And when Christ came, the righteousness came with him as codified in God's law. God's law is a good gift and a perfect gift. And it can't be changed. The only one who can change God's law is God himself. And God said, Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And his lips said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The lips of God said that. And he said, I will not change what goes out of my lips. Makes no difference what came out of Constantine's lips, or the Pope's lips, or some self-styled prophet's lips. A lot of prophets running around that made themselves prophets. Only God can change his law. He never will, because since the law reflects him, to change the law, God would have to change himself. And I'm the Lord, I change not. Will you not recommit yourselves to living by the law of God? My friends in the building and online, will you not recommit yourselves to live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, not from earthly authorities? Will you not obey the law of God as spoken by God, not some version modified by man? And some other night, maybe tomorrow, I will show you the danger of accepting man-made law. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. The beasts ascend from where? Beneath. The two-horned beast, from beneath. The beast that harasses the two witnesses, from beneath. How many of you will say, Lord, thank you for your righteous law. Can I see your right hand? Say with me, Lord, write your law on my heart. Can you say that? And mean it. Stand up with me. My friends online, say the same thing. Lord, write that law, that good gift, that perfect gift on my heart. Write it, Father, because I cannot write it. And God only does for us what we absolutely cannot do for ourselves. That's why the very first promise of the Bible, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, because a sinner does not feel enmity for sin. God has to put it, and then he changes us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, we thank you for the good gift of your law, which reflects your very character, as sacred as you are, as holy as you are. So many Christians do not understand, dear God, that because the law was broken, Jesus Christ had to die, and there was no way around it. You had no option, dear God, because your law is so sacred. An angel could not die. Someone equal with yourself had to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, help us to see your law as a blessing. Help us to see every one of the 10 as a promise of power to live a godly life, a victorious life. And Father, help us to say the words of Peter and John and the other apostles, we ought to obey God rather than man. Father, give us a steadfastness to obey you. Give us a determination to live by thus saith the Lord, regardless of cost. Watch over us tonight, dear God. Bring us back tomorrow, I pray, to hear your word again. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Come back tomorrow. Try to bring someone. By the way, when you invite someone, pray first. You see, the devil will try to tell the person, no, ask God to intervene on your behalf and soften the person's heart to accept your invitation. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.